Hello, and welcome to this edition of TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Tommy Patterson. Joining me today, Young Chow. Once again, we've got the OMS gurus on the line, and we're going to talk about some really exciting stuff. Guys, it's great to have you back in this part two of our series.
Thanks for having us. This is awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Great. Thanks, Young. Jim, Tiander, great to have you on. So I don't want to hold up any longer. Why don't we jump right in and pick up where we left off?
All right, so let's just go ahead and dive in. So we're back here in the OMS portal, the Operations Management Suite, and I wanted to talk about OMS automation specifically. And so you see here the tab for automation, and if we click into this, there's not a whole lot going on here. This is really just giving you an overview specifically of the runbooks and the number of jobs that you've had over the last several days. If we go and click in Manage, what this is going to do is go ahead and click in a deep link that opens up the Azure portal. And so what we're looking at here is actually an automation account within the East US, which basically displays the different components within Azure Automation. And so the real value of Azure Automation is essentially taking what you may be doing today with what I like to call manual automation, or your PowerShell scripts that you may have sitting on a share, or things that you may be running with scheduled tasks, and pulling those into something called a runbook within Azure Automation. And so for those of you that are familiar with Orchestrator or Service Management Automation within Windows Azure Pack, you'd be familiar with runbooks as a concept already. And essentially what runbooks are is basically your pure PowerShell, whether that be PowerShell workflow, PowerShell scripts, or similar to, in similar fashion with Orchestrator, we also have this concept of a graphical runbook that sort of allows those folks that are more comfortable with building runbooks with sort of bits and pieces and sort of a Visio flow can do that as well. And so I'll dive into this a little bit more, but I wanted to go through some of the other components to give you an idea of kind of the asset store up inside Azure Automation. And so if I click into Azure Automation, this is sort of our Azure Automation asset store. This is sort of where we store the things that you can leverage inside a runbook to execute automation. And so similar fashion to, say, for example, scheduled tasks, you can define schedules against a runbook and have that runbook run on a particular schedule. And so whether you want to have it run once or you want to have it run, say, currently the configuration is basically daily or hourly. In addition, runbooks can actually be executed through the Azure scheduler leveraging webhooks. And so you also have that ability to go very granular within like 6 to 5 minutes as an example. Modules. What modules are essentially your PowerShell modules that are provided by your third or in the case of Microsoft first party applications. And so in the case of AWS as an example, 1,666 individual commandlets, which are essentially commands that you can run against AWS to be able to instrument certain things. And so I'll show you this runbook in a little bit that will kind of sort of bring this home and make a little bit more sense to you. But essentially what this is very similar to Orchestrator with your Orchestrator integration packs. This allows you to be able to take these individual activities, pull them into Azure Automation, and then just subscribe to these in your PowerShell runbooks on demand to be able to execute against AWS or against Azure directly or against SharePoint or desired state configuration, that type of thing.
So did we work with AWS to create this?
No.
The PowerShell, the commandlets.
The commandlets, no. So these were, there we go. These were created by, these PowerShell modules are actually created by our third-party partners and whatnot. They're created in order to be able to enable a very large PowerShell ecosystem, a community out there to be able to instrument against their systems. And so in very similar fashion to Azure and what we have with our SDK, AWS has done a very similar thing. And so it's not necessarily made for Azure Automation. It's just something we're consuming.
Okay.
Well, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, so what is the kind of realistic setup in terms of the infrastructure? Do I have site-to-site with Azure and with AWS?
Site-to-site?
What would be a production setting? Do I have a kind of a connectivity maintained with both sides, or how does this actually work?
So basically the way this is, your all your resources are up in the cloud, up in Azure. You have the ability to leverage a hybrid runbook worker, which can be dropped into a private cloud or into a service provider cloud to be able to instrument against those clouds if you need to, if you can't instrument against them directly like we can with AWS using commandlets. And so as far as the connectivity goes, it basically is coming from the cloud down or across to your clouds.
Okay.
Yeah, so, well, what I think one thing that would be good to say is, you know, just the commandlets are, you know, maintained as a, the commandlets are maintained to talk to the AWS SDK.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something to that nature. So people don't think that, I just don't want them to think that we are working with AWS to create this.
Okay. Well, I can basically make some comments to the fact that these PowerShell modules are created by the vendor, not by us. We're just consuming these to be able to make it easier to instrument and automate against these third first-party workloads.
So, Jim, before we move on to the next section, who maintains these modules? Where do we? How do we attach to those?
Tommy, that's a great question. So these modules, these PowerShell modules, are actually created by the vendor. So in this example with Amazon, with AWS, or Azure in our case, we're maintaining our own PowerShell SDK. And so these modules are maintained by whether it be the community or the vendor, and then you can consume these directly into Azure Automation to be able to instrument against those things in your multiple clouds that you're leveraging. All right. So to give a bit more, in fact, to show a little bit of that as well, Tommy, if I go ahead and click into the browse gallery, one of the big powers that we have inside here as far as being able to consume these PowerShell modules is to be able to leverage this huge ecosystem that we have out here. And so, as you know, PowerShell has been out there for a while and is being consumed. It's got a very large following, a huge community out there. And so the value here is that the PowerShell gallery, which is a gallery that has both PowerShell modules, PowerShell scripts, and runbooks and whatnot, has been integrated directly in the Azure Automation portal to be able to directly pull in modules into our subscription. And so just showing here, we've got this created by Carlos Perez as an example. You know, we can go through, look for things that are created specifically by Microsoft Corporation. And so these are all the Azure Resource Manager modules as an example. And so if I were looking for something, specific, I don't think anything off the top of my head, but if I did want to just pull this one in here, for example, it's just a matter of clicking and running the import process. What the automation team has recently done is actually added some dependency mapping in here so that it'll alert you to make sure that you know that you need a specific dependent PowerShell module. But again, just 2-3 clicks. This is already imported. It's into my asset store now, and it's currently in the process, I believe, of extracting where it might already be available. And so, again, it's just that easy. If we go back here. So we've talked about schedules, modules. Certificates are really just, you know, bringing in, maybe you have something that that you're leveraging as a certificate. In my case, I have something around my service principal name that I'm pulling in, or my automation, Azure certificate that I'm consuming. This is something to provide you the ability to be able to consume certificates inline directly in your Roambook without having to have those be imported directly into your store, as an example, that type of thing. They're up here and available.
Because basically what's happening is we're spinning up a VM on the part of the automation account and mm-hmm. running with the credentials we provide, the certificates we provide, against whatever target that you're trying to automate, right?
Absolutely correct. So when what happens when you fire up a Roambook or you want to run some automation, all of these things are actually consumed and brought into a virtual machine, as you mentioned, to be able to provide the environment for being able to run your automation. And so whether it's the PowerShell modules, the certificates, that type of thing. And so you're in your own sort of instance with your own ecosystem, all of these things that are in your asset store made available to you.
Very good.
Excellent. So connections, really quick, is really just around taking a series of different pieces of information and pulling them in to make it very easy to consume. And so you know, what we're looking at here is maybe I don't want to set these all up as variables, so I want to put this all into one object and then consume that directly on the wire, you know, in line within my PowerShell script. So that's really the value of connections. The last two pieces here, variables and credentials, I think these are probably one of the, along with modules, of course, are probably one of the most powerful things that you can have within Azure Automation. So if you could imagine credentials today, you're either putting those directly in a scheduled task and having to manage those for passwords and user IDs, that type of thing. You're putting them in some sort of an encrypted file, potentially sitting in some location so that it can't be used by anyone else, or you're using clear text, or you're actually typing it in this, you know, manual automation type exercise where you're executing the script, doing a get PS credential, and then typing it in. So what we've done here is allowed you to be able to pull those credentials directly up in the asset store so that essentially you've got your login ID and your password in an encrypted state, and then you can consume that within your PowerShell script leverage it and execute it as you need it. Very powerful, as opposed to where you are today, where some folks may be today with leveraging that in, you know, other capacities. This reduces the sort of complexity around having to manage those credentials spread all over the place, because you can update it here in one place and then just reference it in a Roambook. Update it in this place, update the password, it automatically is updated for all your Roambooks. And then variables, the nice thing about variables is if it may not be a password, but it may be a secret. So in my case, I've got some things with my OMS workspace, and I have a secret. And I don't want everyone to know what that, you know, what my OMS workspace ID and key is. So I want to keep that secure. So I've put this in as an encrypted variable. Value and I'm able to consume that, whether it's within a DSC configuration or Azure Automation DSC, which I'm going to talk about here next, or directly in the PowerShell script itself.
Now, Jim, I see a number of things I really like. Is back to OMS. So mm-hmm. so there's a really nice integration from OMS coming into the Azure Automation, and then you just show us all these assets, credentials, certificates. So it seems to me there's a really a unified interface that I can move from OMS and seamlessly integrate into Azure Automation, and then it gives me sort of like one place to manage all the assets, and also apparently we can, you know, from here to manage AWS, so it's like any cloud. I can use this simple integration to manage that. I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think it's very powerful, and so I appreciate you bringing that up specifically. The fact that, you know, we're not just talking about automating things up in Azure. This is really about automating things in your service provider cloud, your you know, the other vendor cloud, AWS, or whether it's in your own data center, and you know, to put a finer point on that, what we do provide to be able to make it easier to do things and execute things within your own private cloud is we introduce this concept of a hybrid Roambook worker. So really what a hybrid Roambook worker is similar to what Tommy was mentioning around, you know, we spin up this virtual machine to be able to execute some automation against your workloads up in Azure. hybrid runbook worker in similar fashion as sort of a sandbox instance, so to speak, of a virtual machine that's sitting within your private cloud on a server that allow you to be able to leverage run-as accounts. Today you have to import your own modules. In the future, those modules will come down automatically from the asset store. And to be able to execute the runbooks, not just up in Azure, but down into your private cloud. So it's a pretty powerful option, specifically if really what you're trying to do is not necessarily execute PowerShell inside your environment, but maybe you want to run a batch file or an executable or something, well, then leverage the runbook to do that on your behalf.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned hybrid several times, so I do want to point out that, and this is also a question for you. Now, hybrid, apparently we can manage in a hybrid kind of environment, right? And either on-premises, Azure, and apparently AWS, we can go through OMS integrated with Azure Automation to manage. That's great. Now, what happened if I have hybrid workload? In other words, I have Microsoft workload, I have non-Microsoft workload like Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Would this work?
Yeah, so we work with Linux. So, for example, the DSC configuration or desired state configuration that I'll talk about next, we have the ability to apply that to a Linux workload. In addition, OMS as a whole, Linux as an agent, we are embracing Linux. As we say, we love Linux. And Linux is absolutely part of the mix here as we look at managing your hybrid cloud.
I mean, we just announced that we're doing SQL Server on Linux now. That's just tells you a whole lot about the embrace of Linux that's going on at Microsoft. Very, very neat.
Absolutely. And in fact, everything that we're doing, I think, the right way because we're open sourcing it, making it available as a community project so that we can receive that input from the experts out in the community as well. All right. So I wanted to dive into DSC configurations just to give you guys an idea of what this looks like. And then I want to show you an example here of a machine that's gone out of compliance. But to give you an idea of what DSC is, Azure Automation DSC or desired state configuration is really a way of configuring sort of a build pipeline, if you will, or a configuration for an end node on your network. Define it in a particular way and then ensure that that server stays in that particular configuration that you've defined, or apply a configuration to a machine and then report on that. And so to kind of give a little bit of detail on what's going on inside, say, a basic configuration, or actually this is a little bit more of an advanced one, this is a bakery website. And so, taking some of the concepts that we've talked about earlier around, I'm importing some PowerShell modules out of my asset store. In this here, I'm defining a front-end server and ensuring that the IIS is installed and it's present. I'm setting some dependencies around, say, a Windows feature. So I want to make sure a Windows feature is installed. I'm going to set up a physical path for my website. So you kind of get the idea. I want to make sure it's running and it's depending on these particular features. And so essentially what this is doing is going through and defining what the server is going to look like and ensuring that that server meets that configuration whenever this configuration is applied to it. And so finally here, what we're doing is we're ensuring that this bakery website is present, that we have some bindings, which essentially is we're just setting port 80 to make sure that it's up and running, and that it's depending upon some web archive that's being pulled off of an Azure Blob Store to be able to extract a site and build it and make it look the way it's supposed to look. And so taking this concept to sort of the next level, pulling up my server sitting up, this happens to be up in Azure, this is what my website's supposed to look like. It's supposed to have my cupcakes and things like that. But the idea here is that maybe we've just gone through a development release or something occurred to where my images folder has disappeared from the system. And this may be one node in a series of multiple nodes. And so occasionally maybe my customers are hitting this every so often and receiving dead links. And so what happens behind the scenes is essentially DSC on an interval is going out and testing and looking at the machine to make sure that it's meeting the baseline. In this case here, it's come up and saying that basically these files are missing here, and in addition, we're coming up with false as being on the test. So essentially, it's failed the test and it's false. And so what this means, you know, if I go back into the back into my Azure Automation end node here, I've gone ahead and configured one of these nodes to basically apply and report, so it's not automatically bringing it back to a compliant state. But if I look at this particular virtual machine, I can see here it's been out of compliance for a while. It's in a non-compliant state. If I click in here, it's giving me some details around what's going on. And so it's saying here my archive, essentially my files that are required for my website are not in a compliant state. So if I go back over to my box here and I'm still in this broken state, what Azure Automation does behind the scenes is essentially evaluate, and then if it's set to apply and remediate, it will essentially kick this off. And so what this is doing is going and looking at that configuration, this compiled configuration that's sitting locally on this box that's been pushed down or pulled down from the server. Essentially, it's basically here what you're seeing is that it's looked at the configuration and said these things are not in compliance, and so therefore it's going to unzip these files and put them where they're supposed to be. If I go back over here, probably didn't see it, but this images folder is now existing. If I go back here and I click a refresh, you know, we're in good shape. If I go here and just do a real quick test again, just to kind of seal up the whole story here, and now we're in a true state for compliancy. If I now go back here and look, well, it's already showing compliance. Obviously, we've got a refresh issue on here, but if I go back and click in here, my VM1, which we were looking at, has now gone from being out of compliance. Here in a second, you'll see the report nodes that it was non-compliant, now it's been brought back into compliancy, and so pretty powerful. So the idea being is, as opposed to following a checklist or something for building a server, well, you already know what that checklist is, so why don't you go ahead and just create a configuration for that, and then that configuration becomes essentially code, so configuration is code. Let's take this configuration and apply it to one or to thousands of machines and have those machines all look exactly the same according to some sort of baseline.
Hey, Jim. Mm-hmm. The non-compliant asset or non-compliant workload, it should be shown on the OMS console, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll show within Azure Automation. So before I went through and brought it into compliancy, this one was showing non-compliant.
Yeah, but in OMS, do I see that?
You won't see anything inside here because OMS is literally only surfacing up right now runbooks
and
jobs.
Okay. I was hoping to see there, and then that would be nice to kind of, okay. Never mind.
Yep. No problem.
I think it's important to bring back to OMS, and because last episode, Tiander talked about application insight and look at the event log, look at the, you know, security log and all that. And here you have the automation, you have the kind of remediate some situation. And I think it's a nice story to say either from that end coming to this end and this end going to that end to verify. I think it's a nice story here, because I think we're so deep into automation, we need to kind of bring back to OMS to give a perspective from, this is really about OMS to single glass of pane, a pane of glass to manage a multiple clouds of different environments.
The tie into OMS, unfortunately, is literally this one box. This is the tie into OMS. The other piece that I could do, which is something is definitely an option, which is something I was thinking about when you were mentioning this, and so I'm open to this, is I can do my AWS demo really quick after this, so I can switch over to that and show executing the runbook. That won't take long, but the then what I can do is switch back over to the OMS portal and go into Log Analytics and show how you can, but I can't remember. Tiandra, did you already show the tie-in to from Log Analytics into Azure Automation with OMS?
I believe I flashed it really briefly. It doesn't hurt to repeat it.
Okay.
The remediation part, I guess, you invoking the runbook.
Yeah.
I would just repeat it, yeah.
All right, so this basically shows you kind of the idea around configuration drift and bringing the system back from a non-compliant state. So the real power in here is really around the reporting aspect and getting a control of your assets and having visibility in each one of your endnotes. So I move back here a little bit. Just want to kind of tie things up as far as the runbooks go. And so again, I was in here with the runbooks looking at this this particular runbook here. This runbook, what it's doing is actually going through and deploying a virtual machine inside AWS, leveraging Azure Automation. Now, that's not so much important as far as what we're doing inside AWS. What is important is that this is basically illustrating the fact that we can execute things outside of Azure, so in AWS or in your private cloud or service provider cloud, leveraging the provided SDKs, the PowerShell modules that come from the vendor in sort of a very streamlined fashion. And so just looking at this a little bit at the sort of the high levels, so your typical PowerShell script, so we're bringing in parameters, we're pulling in credentials from the asset store. So, you know, as shown earlier with credentials, we're doing some things with PowerShell to kind of convert some stuff. We're setting some access keys. This is around getting things set up with the AWS environment. We're checking to make sure the images exist over there before we go forward. And then we're kicking up a virtual machine and getting it all squared away and just sort of displaying some details. And so what I'm going to do is go ahead and kick this off. I'm going to kick it off in the test pane, which is actually going to not just test, but actually do the execution here, but it's easier to illustrate this so we can show the output. So here I'm just going to put in a VM name, doesn't really matter here. Majority of these things here can all be left to default with the exception of the VM name. I'm going to leave these as default just for the concept of good cooking show here. Down here, if you notice, we talked about hybrid runbook workers. If we wanted to run this runbook against a hybrid runbook worker, we could certainly do that. And in that case, it would run from my runbook worker sitting in my private cloud against AWS. But in this case, it really doesn't make sense because we already have the commandlets and everything available to us to be able to do this. So I'm just going to click start here. What's going on right now is it's basically taking all the details within this PowerShell script, pulling them together, validating that we have all the resources available, that the credentials exist in the asset store, that we can communicate and authenticate to Azure, these types of things. And so it's in a queued state right now, which means it's been put out there and we're waiting for it to actually get spun up inside that virtual machine sitting up in Azure. So of course, when we're looking at something like automation and we want to click the button, we want it to happen now, we're sitting here, it's kind of like watching paint dry. But the idea here is that as this goes through and gets spun up, it will start to execute through the steps. So,
Well, Jim, I actually have a couple of questions here. Now, first of all, Tommy, calm down. I know when you hear that when you see and hear, and then we can manage the AWS resources directly from Azure Automation, you probably jump off your chair and high-fiving. So calm down. second thing I want to ask Jim is, this is great, right? This is literally showing us, the way that we can manage a really heterogeneous environment, any cloud, anywhere. Now, last episode, Tiandra showed us a lot of great insights, application insights, and it'll go through different logs, and we can really see what's happening on the workload and the different analytics and things like that. And I mean, so what are we going to see from OMS perspective? I mean, Tiandra, is that a fair question to Jim?
I think so. Yep.
Yeah. So. perfect. Thanks for putting the commentary during the dead space here while we wait for queued to running. I'm going to get right to that. What I want to show you here real quick is now we're in the running phase, and so now we're doing everything that I was talking about. The queued phase essentially is bringing, you know, building up, as Tommy was mentioning, building up that virtual machine, bringing in all the modules, putting all that stuff up, getting it ready. I haven't run a runbook in a while, so maybe that was what was going on behind the scenes. Here, what we're doing is we're running, we're essentially going through, validating all the dependencies and whatnot. And now we're communicating out against AWS. We're getting the image, and oh, wow, it already finished here, and it did it fairly quickly. Let's go ahead and just move back and forth here and make sure that we're seeing. Yeah, so we're actually seeing right now that this VM01 that I specified in the runbook itself when I executed is actually in a pending state, but it's currently being built, and so essentially, you know, nothing up my sleeve. This is all going on as we're executing. So essentially, what was going on here? It authenticated. It got the image. It found that image, and then essentially successfully executed that over within AWS. So pretty slick stuff, and fairly quick, considering the queuing and everything else. All right, so to get back to kind of tying this up, if we look back within OMS itself, so that, you know, as the topic of discussion we've been talking about today is Operations Management Suite, you know, Log Analytics is really about the discovery, right? So going in and understanding exactly what's going on in our environment. And so the power is finding out what you don't know, not what you know. And so in this case, as an example, if we were to look at something like one of these, I'm not sure, we've got some different queries here, but maybe something along the lines of, this may be a bad example, but we'll go ahead and leverage this as an example. But essentially, if you could imagine, we've got a log analytics query that's gone out and taken a look at our environment, determined that there's certain things that have gone beyond a particular threshold. And so what do we do about this? Great, we know about it. What do we do about it? And so what we can do inside of OMS is this concept of alert remediation. And so kind of follow the story all the way through. If this ideally wouldn't be returning 1,000 results, but we'll just pretend this is a performance against a particular server, and we're going to rein this down into a particular value, and that value should always be under or should never be higher than zero. And so what we can do here is go ahead and set up a particular alert. And so we're just going to call this a test rule an alert. We're going to use a current search query, but we could drop down and leverage anyone else's queries if we needed to. And we're going to do this check for this alert every 15 minutes. And so it's going to go out and schedule that. If the number is ever greater than zero within this time span of the 15 minutes, I've got some options here. And so I want to send an email notification so I can set up an email subscription, so to speak, and semicolon separated list of folks and put a subject in here. And so that could just communicate according to that threshold that we've breached. But in addition, enable remediation, we have this option of being able to go and take the data that's coming out of here and send it directly into an Azure Automation runbook. And so the real power here is being able to not only have the knowledge about what's going on, but then in addition, communicate what's going on, and then go ahead and automatically remediate. And so, yeah, you could take this concept to the step of, hey, I've got a private cloud with a bunch of virtual machines. I'm reaching some threshold where I'm underperforming, and I need to go ahead and deploy out of another virtual machine to be able to balance the load. So when we hit this particular state for over a period of time, let's go ahead and kick off a runbook to be able to go ahead and deploy another virtual machine and balance the load.
So this is like a perfect answer to those folks that get stuck with, maybe they've got, you know, a set of workloads running in AWS and AWS goes down. Mm-hmm. Then OMS could pick that up and say, hey, let's go ahead and spin these up in Azure. That way we're always on, we're always ready.
Yeah, absolutely. And the value there is that leveraging those runbooks, you can do some things like, well, obviously it's not as simple as you mentioned where you snap your fingers and it goes from here to there. the power of the Runbook is being able to put the automation in there to be able to swap the you know, the virtual IP or the public IP, the NAT, or bringing online a, you know, the port, that type of stuff. And so, again, you know, and in the future here, as we, you know, potentially in some future sessions, we talk about Azure Site Recovery. That's where this real power comes into play when we start to talk about leveraging automation directly and to that component within OMS.
Right. I mean, the total architecture would be make sure you have Traffic Manager set up to a particular service, and you know, have it look at both of your instances, no matter what cloud it's in. Mm-hmm. And then have OMS make sure it's taking care of keeping resources online when they need to be. So you're saving money and time keeping resources shut off when they don't need to be on, but then readily available if we notice something's, you know, gone awry in other cloud providers or a hybrid cloud situation.
Absolutely. The most popular use case, by the way, would be having Log Analytics go out, take a look at the CPU performance, or essentially determining whether a virtual machine is in a cold state, not being used, and then automatically on a schedule, or you know, or essentially go ahead and execute against that virtual machine with a Runbook when it hits a particular threshold over a period of time, and just shut it off and save those resources, and so, you know, really driving ROI and that type of thing, leveraging your ecosystem that's already available to you.
Excellent.
So that is the nickel tour. Granted, the nickel tour probably went into like more like 50 cents because we kind of we added a bit of some deeper dive with Azure Automation, and obviously with the things that Tiandra pulled forward. You know, I hope you guys got a good view into the real power of Azure Automation, because Azure Automation, at least within the OMS suite and connecting dots between LogSearch, Log Analytics, and Azure Automation to really power your hybrid cloud, some pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's a beautiful solution, and scalable up to who knows how many different instances we could be monitoring. You know, I think that we're hitting the nail on the head with the traditional problem of monitoring. Always had to do with keeping up with how many servers you needed on site installed with, you know, whatever monitoring solution you went with, keeping it, you know, scaling it out, talking to different cloud providers, talking to different virtualization hypervisors, and that amount of overhead on the brain of the IT pros was, you know, oftentimes just way too much on an ongoing basis. So this definitely simplifies all of that and provides way more insight. So, you know, well done.
Now, Tommy, is that great demo or what?
Absolutely fantastic. I had no idea we could do all that stuff, and especially with AWS.
Yeah, and all this automation, just great. Now, I have to ask Jin and Tiander. Now, I love those Runbooks. I want to get those Runbooks. So where can I get it, and how do I start with OMS?
Well, that's a great question. Go to aka.ms/OMSAWS, and you can get it from there.
Well, thank you. What about, Jim, how do we start with the OMS?
Just go out to microsoft.com/OMS, go through the tour, kick the tires, and start with a free trial.
Well, that there you have it, folks. So go out and test your OMS, get those Runbook, get it running in Azure Automation, and I think you will really enjoy it. For all you folks out there, this is another edition of TechNet Radio. Thank you for watching, and we will see you next time.